As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord.
In our gospel reading today, we hear this Mark's version of the story of the rich young man, and it's a potent story. We hear that this young man approaches Jesus, falls down on his knees in front of him, and asks the question, "What should I do? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And most of the time in Mark's gospel, when people approach Jesus, either they're seeking healing or else they're trying to trick him. And yet, the young man is sincere. He's sincere in desiring life with Jesus. And Jesus' first response is simply to name the commandments. And yet something deep within the man knows that that's not enough. "I've followed those from my youth." He's lived out faithfully the call of his heritage. And then we're told that Jesus looks at him, which is actually a very rare thing that we hear in the gospel. And yet, in our gospel reading today, it happens twice. He looks at the man, and then afterwards, in conversation with the disciples, he looks at them intently. And he also tells them that he looks at him with love, which nowhere else do we hear of Jesus looking at an individual. Certainly, we are told that he loved those that were his own in the world. But here we're told that he looks upon an individual with love and says, "There's one thing you're lacking. Go, sell everything that you have, give to the poor, then come and follow me." Go, sell, give, come, follow. Those words are like hammer blows on the young man. It's the only story of a call in our gospel. The only one where Jesus invites and the person says no. And he says no because he can't let go of what he has. Go, sell, give, come, follow. And the disciples get it. They're exceedingly astonished, we're told. They don't understand, and who can be saved? And those words, in many ways, should be words that should challenge us, because this story is a potent one. And this story is one that I think resonates with us in its realism as we see ourselves, as I see myself, and how difficult it is for me to let go of the things that I have, of the stuff that I cling to. And that's been true for the church as well. It is true that in the very early days of the church, when the church believed that Christ's coming was imminent, that we are told in the Acts of the Apostle, the disciples sold all that they had and lived a common life with one another. But very quickly, that changed. And we've interpreted this gospel over the years as a gospel that consecrates the idea of religious life. It is this gospel that St. Anthony, the abbot, heard, and he fled Alexandria and went out in the wastes in Egypt. And yet, that didn't exist at the time this gospel was given. This gospel is spoken to an entire people. And it's clear that Jesus is not speaking of a poverty that's based on asceticism. He's speaking of a poverty that is based on following him, on being free enough to live a life of discipleship with Jesus. We've spiritualized this gospel, in which we say, well, the young man needed that, but for the rest of us, what is it in our lives that keep us from being close to Jesus? What is it in our lives that prevent us from fully following him? And yet, as much as we can spiritualize this gospel, as much as we see this gospel maybe as an ideal that runs into the reality of our lived experience, nevertheless, all of those interpretations of this gospel, I think, come up short, and they're not satisfying. And in the end, all of our attempts to make this gospel a little less offensive to our values, all of our attempts to do that face Jesus, who ultimately looks us in the face like he does his disciples and like he does the rich young man, to look at us with love and affirm that somehow, the path of life is one of letting go. That tells us that real riches is about dying to wealth. And that's a hard thing for us. And yet, my brothers and sisters, as a people of faith, and as a people that is called to live in the presence of what it is that God calls us to, I think we have to sit with those words that he speaks. The disciples understand. They understand. Who can be saved? It is not in what we ourselves build that we find salvation. It's not in the things that we have that will bring us joy and life. There truly is something worth more than the stuff we have. And Christ's call to us as he looks intently at us, as he loves us, is a call to give it away. Is a call to be free. And in being free, to come to know the salvation and the life that only he can give. Amen.